Well, hello, it's the GabFest. We're live here at BATV, and we're here on October 26th, and looking forward to Halloween. The World Series is underway, and it's a wild thing that's going on there. There's a fellow by the name of George Springer III, who got the home run, and the Astros won it in the 11th inning. That was a wild game. We'll talk a little bit about that. Alex Cora is in as the Red Sox manager. Those are headlines. He played for Boston for 4 years during one of the World Series in 2007. And a rock legend, rest in peace. We'll talk more about that. The Pats won Sunday, and they will play the Chargers in the rain. Curb, vice principals, and Ray Donovan, all three of them are getting ready to wrap up, and they're fantastic. Bill O'Reilly, wow, is he in trouble? Is he toast or what? And then Dustin Pedroia will be out for a lot of the season beginning 2018. Bad knee. I'm George Fennell. This is the GabFest, October 26th.
Paul Ekman, thanks again for watching our, I would say,
our show?
Overly ostentatious show in our overly ostentatious studio.
Yes.
We are recording this and showing it live, of course.
Yeah.
This is Thursday. Normally we do it on Wednesday, but
yeah,
commitments, meeting with our agents, and
yes,
again going over another contract. We are happy to be here amidst a rainstorm.
Rain, oh my, yes.
A lot of wind as well. I understand last night the wind was very, very blustery. I noticed too that this will probably be the last week of foliage viewing.
Yes, it's beautiful.
The rains and the winds will take down a lot of it, especially in the greater Boston area. We've already seen pretty much the end of it up in Maine and Vermont.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But whether or not, the rain and the wind, the rain certainly is a welcome sight right now because we have had some rather dry weather.
Yep.
Fortunately, we don't have to worry about the situation as does California.
Oh.
When you look at some of the videos of the firestorms in California,
yeah,
it's scary. You hear about some of these people who say, well, I was asleep or I was in bed, and all of a sudden there's a knock on my door and somebody saying, you got to get out.
Yeah.
The fire is so close. And then, of course, with the ash and flames all around you, you know that it's only a matter of seconds before your house is up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we still don't know. I guess there are a number of people in the region of the California firestorms that have not been accounted for.
Oh, man.
And we just pray that they come up with these people somewhere. Maybe they sought refuge somewhere else or literally drove out of the area while they could.
Yeah.
But it's something that we don't have to be concerned about here. And especially now with all of this rain, we know that not only do we have to be worried about firestorms, but any kind of talk of
drought,
any water droughts.
Yeah.
That's gone by the way. But this is, for all intents and purposes, a beautiful month. October is a great month. And, of course, October is the month of the World Series.
Yep.
And as George pointed out, a very exciting time for baseball fans.
Oh.
Not necessarily Red Sox fans. I'm disappointed to hear some Red Sox fans say, oh, I can't be bothered watching the World Series because
really?
The Red Sox are not in it.
Oh.
And I say, well, you don't know what you're missing.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And last night, of course, was a 11-inning game. And it seemed like nobody wanted to win the game. Each side was giving up runs in the the most exciting innings. Were the 9th, 10th, and 11th innings.
Yeah, home runs.
Home runs
all over the place.
Galore.
Yeah. But it was George Springer III who actually got the winning home run.
Right.
In the 11th.
We have a tie now.
We've got a tie. One
game.
One.
And
yep,
the Houston Astros now go to their home field for three games.
Yes.
So, you know, you have to ask yourself, if they can win two of those three,
yeah,
jump up to a 3-1 lead,
yeah,
it puts a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. But I have to say that the pitching, for the most part, and it's surprising with all these home runs, but yeah, the pitching has been darn good, especially the starting pitching.
Oh, Verlander is just, he's practically unhittable. And then you get a fellow by the name of Kershaw, who's got the fantastic delivery. It's so different. But it was George Springer III with the home run. But I get a kick out of the announcers. It was Kiki and Keuchel. You got Kiki and Keuchel against each other. And, here's Larry King sitting there every single night at Dodger Stadium. And he's so distracting because you just recognize him.
You can hardly see
him,
though.
What a beautiful seat he has.
Yeah.
He's right there behind home plate. But a lot of celebrities.
They come out for those games in L.A. That's La La Land. Larry King, of course, is a longtime season ticket holder, a big Dodger fan that goes way back to the Brooklyn Dodgers, because that's where we grew up in that area. So, he's never lost that allegiance. A lot of people who were Brooklyn Dodger fans 50 years ago gave that up when the Dodgers moved to LA.
Oh, there was a lot of tears and a lot of screaming and cursing about that. And speaking of cursing, a lot of people are cursing about Mr. Pedroia's situation with the knee. He will be out for many of the months of the next season, 2018 season for the Red Sox. But it's too bad. He didn't do very much during the playoffs, so we'll watch his progress as things move along. We have to say rest in peace for a rock legend, Fats Domino, who passed away at the age of 89. Good long life. Grew up in New Orleans, had a million hits. Played that piano. Nobody gave him credit for being a fantastic pianist, but he also... He was the cheeriest, the most fun-loving guy you could ever watch, Little chubby, Fats Domino.
Gregarious, would say.
He was quite gregarious. Ain't It a Shame was one of his hits. Of course, he brought Blueberry Hill back after Glenn Miller had made a hit with it. With
many
his
years
band.
Before, yeah.
He brought it back, and it became a number one. He had 23 gold platters. Yeah. I mean, he could do no wrong. I'm a walking, yes, indeed, I'm a talking. And then Walking to New Orleans was another hit that he had. He had a ton of hits, and the minute they were released, up they went to the top 10.
And of course, he was a great influence on the Beatles.
He certainly was. Yes. Many of the rock stars back then were influential to not only the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and so forth, but they loved Jerry Lee Lewis, they loved Little Richard. Little Richard taught Paul McCartney how to scream. I thought that was a fantastic story. But they were influenced by Motown and the old rock and roll songs. And when they played in Liverpool or later on in Germany as the Beatles, they would sing a lot of the old American rock songs.
Well, the original concept of the oldies but goodies really referred to the rock and roll of the 1950s.
That's correct.
And then, of course, with each succeeding decade, it got closer to our present time. But I can remember when the radio stations first referred to the oldies but goodies, they were talking about the 1950s and rock and roll.
Great decade for rock and roll. Also, while we're in the subject of rest in peace, TV actor that you remember from Benson, Robert Guillaume, I hope I'm saying that right, has passed away. The Deuce is a TV show that is not for children, not for every taste. Some of it is pretty raw, but it has to do with New York in the 60s and, prostitutes walking around the streets. James Franco has a dual role in this. It's very well done the way they do that. They're twin brothers.
And
sometimes they're together in the scene, and you think, I wonder how they did that. Well, they probably, it's a split screen. You know, today they can do a lot of things with digital equipment. Maggie Gyllenhaal also stars and produces the show.
Yeah, she's done a great job. I wouldn't be surprised she's up for a nomination next year. Yeah.
Her and Edie Falco probably will be nominated. Edie playing the lawyer on that Menendez trial and doing a really good job playing that fizzy-head lawyer.
You mentioned the Menendez trial, and some of our viewers might remember these were two brothers who lived in a very wealthy suburb of L.A., and their father was an extremely wealthy and influential man.
Yeah.
They shot and killed both the mother and father.
Yeah.
Horrendous headlines that came out after the murder was discovered. They are on trial for murder, first-degree murder.
Yep.
And Edie Falco plays the attorney who, and in many of these cases where there's no doubt about the perpetrators
the outcome,
of the murder,
we all know what happened.
They know that they are guilty.
Yeah.
The question is, can they save them from a death sentence?
Yeah.
Even giving them life imprisonment sometimes means that, well, maybe somewhere down the line they feel they are redeemed and they will give them freedom. Reminds me of the classic case in Chicago in the 20s, the Leopold Loeb case.
Oh, my goodness,
where they killed that young boy just for the sake of trying to commit that perfect crime, perfect murder.
Right.
And Clarence Darrow.
Yeah.
The famed lawyer. He admitted that they were guilty. I mean, that was a given in the court proceedings. What he was concerned about was saving them from the electric chair.
Right.
Clarence Darrow was an avowed opponent to the death penalty.
Yeah.
And I see that developing in this Menendez case.
Yes,
That idea. Yeah, we know they're guilty. There's no we're not contesting their guilt. Can we save them from the death penalty?
Yeah. Right. The news came across that TV anchor Jeff Glor will be taking over in a couple of months, the CBS TV anchor job. And he worked locally here in Boston. He worked at Channel 7 WHDH TV. So a new gig for Jeff Glor. Good luck. And he's a good-looking fellow. He'll be taking over there. His competition will be David Muir, of course, of ABC. But the CBS News at night at 6:30 is number three in the ratings, below ABC and the Fox, ABC and NBC nightly news. So we'll see if Jeff Glor's presence can bring up the ratings with the younger folks, because the younger folks will be tuning in to this young, you know, good-looking fellow. It's a matter of gravitas, I guess you would call it. Somebody who has a background as a journalist. We're talking Walter Cronkite. We're talking the greats of CBS News.
Edward in the
past.
Amaro.
Edward Amaro.
Giants in their field.
Yeah, started out in radio and were journalists. They would go out in the field. Morrow went into the war zones and would cover.
Well, even Dan Rather for that.
Rather did too. Rather did also. So there's, there's a lot of space in those shoes to fill in for Mr. Glor. So good luck to him, Jeff Glor. Like his name, I think he's going to be okay. The Chargers on Sunday for the Pats. We're looking forward to a good game. They're doing okay.
Yeah, they've got
Brady's
so
doing
far
great.
So good. Yeah, yeah, it should be a good, very good football game.
Yeah,
of course the. The Patriots each week seem to be getting a little bit better defensively.
Yeah, they beat the Jets on Sunday.
And again, when all is said and done, it's not so much the score, it's just that win, you know, another win in the one-loss column that we look forward to.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be pretty, but as long as it's a W, everybody around the New England area is happy, including Mr. Belichick. So look for a good game this Sunday with the Chargers. I think, Atlanta, let's see, it was 23-7. That was the game last Sunday at Foxborough. Moving right along, folks, we're live here at BATV. You called it the overly ostentatious studios in Billerica. And I want to thank Cosmo Cavicchio for having me on his show, The Journal, which is available on demand. You can go to BATVINC.org, and then when it comes up, it says on demand right there.
Right.
So when you click that, you can look at our show is on there. and the Journal, Cosmos Journal, and other great shows here at BATV. Okay, as we move on from the Razor, there's a book coming out, folks. We're going to be talking about books in a moment, but it's called Relentless, and this is by Pat's wide receiver, Julian Edelman. It'll be, he's out with knee injury, of course, as
yeah,
you well
know. Yeah, they desperately could use him in some of those games, yeah.
And there's a blurb by Bill Belichick. So Relentless is the book that'll be coming out. But speaking of books, let's go to the library and let's show you a picture of the one and the only Whitey Bulger. Now, this book is called Brutal. It came out in 2013, was it, or 2003? I'll have to look that up because the book here by Kevin Weeks mentions the fact that they will never catch Jimmy. Jimmy was his name for Whitey Bulger. All right, this says 2006. So this came out in 2006, but Whitey was still on the run. But of course, we all know that Whitey is in jail. Yeah. But Kevin Weeks, when he wrote this book, thought that they would never, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of nice pictures in here of the different individuals, including Kevin O'Neill. And there's Mr. Weeks as a boy. The Triple O Lounge, that was a place where the guys used to hang out. Kevin worked as a bouncer there and never hesitated to beat someone up really well if they were acting up. And Jimmy Bulger, he called him Jimmy, of course we know him as Whitey. Then there's Brian Halloran, who you know was unceremoniously killed in front of Pier 4. So there's a lot of good stuff in here by Kevin Weeks about Whitey Bulger and the way he, you know, the way he acted. He was very generous to people when they, someone who was needy. One of their friends needed $5,000. He and Kevin just reached into their pocket and said, no problem, here we go. So this one is called Brutal, and it's about Whitey. But there are a lot of books around about Whitey. And while we're at it, here's one by James Patterson. It's called Murder Games. This is a 7-day book from Bill Ricca Library. I meant to reach back here and grab it like that. But Murder Games is pretty good. But Patterson is a good writer. I mean, he's in this one, he's associated with Howard Rougham.
Rome.
And here's James in the back. It's a pretty good book, pretty good story, a thriller. A mystery, obviously, it says Murder Games, so it's going to be a thriller and a good suspense story.
Well, I can recommend a book that
there you go.
Baseball fans, certainly individuals of our era, shall we say, the book is called Year of the Pitcher, Bob Gibson, Denny McClain, and the End of Baseball's Golden Age. This book is just in circulation now. I think it was just released probably within the last month or so. But the interesting thing about this book is that it brings back memories of the year after the Red Sox Impossible Dream, which was 1967.
Yes.
And we remember 1967. Well, one of these pitchers, Bob Gibson, who was an outstanding pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the reason they talk about 1968 is because they changed the elevation of the mound, made it 5 inches lower. They felt that Gibson's great ERA, earned run average the year before, was helped by the higher elevation of the pitcher's mound.
Wow.
But in any case, Bob Gibson, of course, had an outstanding year in 68 as well. And he competed against Denny McClain, who won 31 games.
Yeah.
Last 30-game winner was Denny McClain of the Detroit Tigers. But the remarkable thing is Denny McClain, even though he won 31 games, was not successful in the World Series against the Cardinals in 68. The man who was Mickey Lolich.
If
that name rings
Mickey
a bell.
Lolich,
And of course, Detroit did beat the Cardinals in that World Series.
Okay.
But it's an interesting book because it deals with the giants, so to speak, mm-hmm. of the pitching era in 67-68.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're a baseball fan, you'll enjoy reading that book. And speaking of that, I wanted to mention, too, that we were talking about this, some of us at the gym, talking about the, not the highlights, but what do you remember as a World Series viewer, as outstanding in the World Series games of past years? And the one that tops them all, as far as I'm concerned, is the
Reggie.
Don Larsen no-hit,
okay. Oh,
perfect
yeah.
game.
That's right.
No hit, no run, no error.
Yeah.
Which was, again, against the Dodgers, because if you look back now, there was some thought that the Yankees could play the Dodgers in the World Series.
That's
once
right.
again.
Yeah.
There have been, I think, 11 World Series in which the Dodgers and the Yankees competed
wow,
against
11,
the
huh?
Yeah, 11. And the Yankees were successful, I think, in about eight of them.
Yeah.
But in any case, in 1956, we're talking about Don Larsen's perfect game.
Yeah.
It's probably the top moment in World Series history.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, there were others, and one that comes to mind was Reggie Jackson's...
Mr. October,
right,
yes.
Three
so
home
I said
runs
Reggie.
Against
yeah.
three different pitchers on three pitches.
Wow.
Again, that was against the Dodgers, folks, in 1977.
Oh, was he
so,
odd.
Yeah, those are great moments. And
yeah.
one of our colleagues at the gym, Mike, who was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, he grew up in the greater Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
He will immediately cite Bill Mazeroski's home run to beat the Yankees in 1960.
Okay.
To finish off the Yankees. But everyone has, I suppose, that's watched the World Series over the years, has a favorite.
Yeah.
But certainly the perfect game stands out above all the others.
Oh, man. A perfect game. Imagine.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen, you know, once maybe every three
Especially
or four
Especially when you're talking about a World Championship
yeah.
game, you know, where you're figuring
right.
you got the two best teams that are going that you could possibly have
yeah.
at the park. You know.
Now, I see you have this day in history over there. Is there
yeah,
something?
Well, this also serves as a memory, folks, because every
yeah.
day the globe has this day in history.
Right.
And what caught my eye was things, again, not related to baseball, but the 1861, the Pony Express,
mm-hmm.
which I remember as a kid, there might have been, among other things, a half a dozen movies that dealt with the Pony Express, whether it was the bad guys trying to deal with them or
yeah.
Indians attacking the telegraph wires and all that. But the Pony Express only lasted 18 months. It went from Jefferson City, Missouri,
yeah.
out to Sacramento, California. And, of course,
oh.
there was a relay system of horses.
Yes.
You know, they had outposts and all that.
Yeah.
And the reason, excuse me, the reason it ended in just 18 months was because of the telegraph, the development of the telegraph.
That went in, yeah.
And then, within the short decade, the Transcontinental Railroad.
Ah, yes.
So communication by horseback,
mm-hmm.
other than local, wasn't needed. It was obsolete, let's say.
Yeah.
But that was in 1861, the end of the Pony Express.
Hmm.
I remember, who was it? Charlton Heston, I think, starred in one movie about
really,
that.
Really, did he?
The other thing that caught my eye was 1881, 20 years later, the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Oh, yes.
Now, every Western viewer...
Mm-hmm.
We'll know about the gunfight with
yeah.
Wyatt Earp and
oh,
his
yeah.
brothers and Doc Holliday
yes,
and all that.
Right.
And finally, on this day, in 1949, President Truman, who was serving really his first year elected
yeah.
president,
mm-hmm.
He signed the minimum wage increase from get this, folks, 40 cents to 75 cents an hour.
Big leap.
Here we're in a time period where we're discussing raising the minimum wage to as much as $15 an hour.
Yes, right.
And 70 years ago, we're talking about going from
40 cents
to 75 cents. So
wow,
you have to ask yourself, where are we headed? You know, I often tell people that when I was a kid, if my mother gave me a dollar to go to the corner variety store, you know, yeah, in the city, every corner practically had a variety store,
right,
where you could get just about everything you need for the day. And my mother would give me a dollar.
Yeah.
And that dollar would allow me to purchase the Boston Post, which is no longer in existence.
Ooh, that's right.
But that was every man's newspaper.
Absolute
that was the
great
Democratic paper, so to speak.
Right.
The Boston Post, which had some great writers.
Yeah.
When the Post failed, by the way, when it went out of business, a lot of those writers went to the Globe and the Boston Herald.
Sure.
Traveler.
Or the Record American.
Record American,
yeah.
Yeah.
But you said they failed because they went out of business.
Well, they
what does that mean?
I mean, they went out of business in terms of not getting the advertising that they needed to maintain.
Okay.
They were losing money, and the competition between the Herald.
Yeah.
Because the Herald Traveler was both a morning and an afternoon Sunday paper.
That's right, yeah.
The Globe was a morning and afternoon paper.
Yeah.
The Hearst paper, the American Advertiser,
yes,
Daily Record.
Yeah, the
that
Record
was morning, America. Evening, Sunday paper. The competition was too. I mean, the same with New York. New York had a dozen papers at one time before
absolutely
World War II.
Yeah.
And they fell by the wayside because of the competition.
Yes. Now, you know what I remember most about the Post? That rhymes. The cartoonist. Was it Dick Coyne?
Yes, yes.
He used to do sports.
Bob Coyne.
He did sports illustrations, usually on the back
fantastic
page of the Post.
Yeah.
And he would draw Fenway Park, and
yeah,
it would be so perfect. It would be so beautiful. It was more than a caricature. It was kind of like between a portrait and a caricature, somewhere in between. And I always remember the batter. He would show the batter, and he would draw a line
where
the home run
ball
went.
Yeah.
You know, he would draw,
if I'm not mistaken,
this is where it went in left field.
I think Bob Coyne went to the Globe.
Did he? Oh,
when
did
the Post ended.
Yeah.
And then Bob Coyne was succeeded by Phil Bissell.
Oh, okay.
And Phil Bissell was the one who drew the original Patriot uniform standing over the ball like as a center.
Oh, my,
yeah.
I remember that, He did. That original picture,
that famous
Patriots shot, unbelievable, it's fascinating to go back in time and think about those.
Well,
old
I just want to, finish my
go ahead
statement. My mother would send me to the variety store for a dollar.
Yeah, a dollar. I would get the post.
I would get a quart of milk.
Wow.
And I would get a loaf of bread for sandwiches for school.
Wow.
And bring back change.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was your best sandwich? Bologna and cheese on white bread?
Well, a tuna fish, you would get
something
that was substantial, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do peanut butter and jelly in those years. I remember bologna on white bread at Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
A little bit of mustard.
Wonder Bread, Tip Top bread.
Tip Top.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But imagine, $1 would buy a bottle of milk, a loaf of bread,
and a newspaper.
And change. That is amazing. That he's old.
I'm old. That's right.
He's so decrepit.
Just getting older, folks.
But I think we're sort of running out of time, and I'm dashing over to Manja Manja for a meal. And I want to thank you very much for watching the GabFest for today. And thanks for everybody here at BATV for helping us go live on this show. It's always a lot of fun. I'm George Fennell.
Paul Ekman, thanks for watching, Dottie.